It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is Husky Honks Talk Postgame, powered by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels, make the most of every moment. Make it count. Please drink responsibly. By your Western Washington Toyota dealers. Visit your local Toyota dealer today or visit buyatoyota.com. By Gillis Auto Center. Gillis Auto Center in Shelton and online at gillisautocenter.com. By Bayside Auto Sales. Bayside Auto Sales on Evergreen Way in Everett and online at baysideautosales.net. And by Hammer & Nail. Hammer & Nail, the preferred custom home builders and remodelers for fans. Go to hammerandnail.build. Now it's time for the Husky Honks on your home for the Huskies. Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
You know, there's some saying in sports, something about the game not being reflected by the final score or whatever, something like that. Somebody once said that, some wise man somewhere
at
some
point
in time. That's fine. You may have said that way back in the day. Yes, when Dick Baird came rolling into town on his horse with his cowboy hat on, he said, man, this is not reflective of the final score because 44-27 does not do this bad boy justice at all. This is a game that UW led 24-0 at halftime, 37-0 after three, 44-6 in the early going of the fourth quarter, after Richard Newton's 54-yard touchdown run with a backup quarterback in the game at that point and Jacob Sermon. And at that point, Arizona said, okay, it's 44-6. Maybe we can just throw a couple of points out there and make this thing at least look respectable. So, I don't know, man. I mean, Arizona is going to lead the nation in garbage points after today's game. But what a performance, guys. Dick Baird, Taylor Barton, Dave Softy Mahler. Husky Honks are brought to you by our friends at Jack Daniels, your local Western Washington Toyota dealers, Gillis Auto Center, Bayside Auto Sales, and Hammer and Nail, where my contractor is now your contractor. Check them out at hammerandnail.build. And let's start with a quarterback, Dick. What a performance by Dylan Morris, 15 for 25, 230, couple of touchdowns, and could have been even more. There was more meat on that bone for Dylan Morris. He had at least one, if not two, touchdowns dropped by a freshman wide receiver. And Jalen McMillan had two more balls at least dropped, one by Adunze and one more by Puka Nacua. So wide receivers still, after two games, are not helping Dylan Morris out much, but he's putting the ball exactly where it has to go. And the great thing for Dylan Morris, he's played eight quarters of college football. He's won both games and has zero turnovers to his credit. How about this game?
Yeah, no, I think he really is the player of the game for me. I thought he just had a great game. His ability to step up in the pocket, I thought he just had a great game. Considering the difference between last week and this week,
yep,
how they put it on his plate this time, and he answered with flying colors. And you're right, I'm getting sick of wide receivers dropping the ball. honestly, when I was a wide receiver coach, I said, you only have two things to ball when it's thrown to you, and the other is block for Napoleon Kaufman. You know, I mean, it's really a simple deal. But this is 2 weeks in a row. We've had four drops in the game.
Unbelievable.
I mean, and two, again, touchdown passes.
Right.
So, goodness, and you know what's unfortunate is that it's the youngsters that are doing it.
Yeah.
You know, it's the youngsters that
you
are doing it.
You could argue, Taylor, that's four touchdowns they've had dropped
right.
in two games. Yep. Adunze and Ty Jones in the same corner last week, and now Jalen McMillan with the post route and the corner route tonight. But, you know, look, either way, I said it on Twitter, and I'm sure you'll agree. Maybe you'll shock me and say I'm crazy, that I think Husky fans should be more than pleased with what they've seen so far from Dylan Morris in two games.
Absolutely. And you know what's funny about the receiver situation and the drops? Everybody thought going into it that the season with Dylan or last week and this week, they're going to have to make big-time plays to really get him going, and it's been the opposite. He's just putting the ball on the money every time,
yep.
And in spite of their drops, still then coming back and throwing great passes. And that's the thing I've been the happiest with. I knew how talented Dylan was. I mean, I've seen a pretty big body of work for him. You know, to do it at this level is different. But watching his reaction after bad plays, you know, after an incompletion or after a bad play or a bad throw or a bad read, how do you come back the next play? That really kind of shows everyone who you are and who you're going to be. And that is what he's really done in these first 2 weeks, is he's come out, played really well. But, hey, when a guy drops a ball, instead of throwing his hands up at the receiver and showing him up,
right,
which he wants to do, believe me, he wants to, but he doesn't. Because he says, you know what, I know I'm going to miss them on passes. I don't want them doing the same. And I don't want to show them up, have them mad, get their head down. In fact, I'm going to come pat him on the back, say, I'm coming right back to you next play. Well, and then he does. And then all of a sudden you're seeing first downs on a third down. So I really like how he's responded after drops or after his misreads or bad plays. It showed me a lot about him.
Yeah, it's, you got to have a selective memory.
Yeah,
and
sure.
And then when something happens in football, you got to forget it right now, because there's two with a quarterback play, there's so much on his table in the first place that he didn't have time to worry about it. I'm going to go on to the next one. We'll catch the next one. And I actually saw him go up to one of those kids that dropped the ball today, and he just waved his hand like that. It's cool, man.
Yeah,
we're all right.
Yeah.
We're good. You know, I think we've been talking about this. This kid has some real leadership skills.
Yes, he does.
And there's no position in the game, with maybe the exception of free safety or middle linebacker, that really has the leadership quality that the quarterback position has. And I just think he's just done a wonderful job in two games so far.
His leadership skills and likability take me back to Marcus Tuiasosopo.
Sure.
That was the way his teammates, they liked him, they respected him, they believed in him. And I know it's still early on in Dylan's career in the season, but his personality, his demeanor, the way the guys rally around him on the sideline, he's just very liked. His coaches like him. They believe in him. So when he goes and performs like that, and now his play matches that leadership, that's where you start getting something really special.
Oh, can you even believe what his stats would have been like with those catches?
Yeah, how about that?
I mean, it's crazy. Yep. But, you know, hey, the quarterback, you know, they get too much credit and they take too much blame.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that a lot of people don't realize is the leadership quality that the quarterback has to bring to the table. And you could see it in this young man. It's just the way he handles himself. But, you know, overall, the whole concept of running back by committee is actually working.
Right.
You know, and the one that keeps jumping out at me is Cam Davis, the youngster.
Is he a freak athlete,
you know, I mean, he's got
running and catching.
He's really fluid. And the other three, the veteran kids, are so different in their styles that although, you know, Newton and Pleasant are similar. I mean, they're big, strong, hit it in there. But I thought today that Sean McGrew danced a little bit too much. You know, he was kind of quivering in the backfield, waiting for something to open up.
Yeah.
And he does that. And, you know, you got to tip your hat to that offensive line. I mean, that starting group of offensive linemen, they really got a good brotherhood going.
Yes.
But, you know, then again, you get to the end of the game and you got Jerry's boys going out there, whoever they are, you know. That was a term that Coach Hart used all the time, you know. And Jerry's boys are the second string, and they go out there and you go, and we're just going, oh, God. You're just wrecking. No. You're wrecking them. But they weren't wrecking it. It was a blowout game.
Yeah.
And it didn't make any difference how many points they put up at the end. They weren't going to win the game. But, you know, when you go out there, that's your chance to show the coach that you're ready to play.
Right.
And, you know, the kids, they didn't.
And they show the coaches why they're second string.
They showed them why they're second and third string.
You just validated the coach's
decision.
Sure,
but to be fair, it was against Arizona's ones.
Right,
it wasn't
but here's the point. Those guys, at some point in the season, some of those guys are going to need to be
absolutely,
with the ones.
Absolutely, for sure.
Whether it's injury, COVID, whatever it is.
Right. Yes.
And the thing is, you are going to be playing the opponents once. So I'm with you. The problem is they sat there watching the ones kick butt and felt like they did that. And it's like, no, Those guys did that. When you get on the field, you got to do it. And that's a championship culture. And I think for this team to be a championship team, those – and we saw some guys come back on the field after the game.
Including
we were looking at them. Asa Turner.
Yeah.
And they're going through different things. And you want to see that, because if something's wrong, you got to fix it or else it's going to spread.
Well, I like the fact that they're seeing the other team's number ones, right, because those guys coming out playing against twos and threes that they would never see.
Well, at the end, they had their backups.
Right, but the
too.
Fact that they did get a chance, it's why I hate the NFL preseason, right, because we'll make stars out of people in the preseason that are playing against players that they'll never see in the regular season. So what do you
can I say this, though? The fact that we're sitting here talking about Washington's backups at the end of the game
means
how good were their freaking starters. I mean, at one point, with 4 minutes left in the third quarter, Arizona had 51 total yards.
That was 37 to nothing.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's 51 total yards in three quarters.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good offense, fellas.
You know what, though? But going back to what you talked about with Dylan, I've got the play-by-play. So starting with the fifth drive of the game, Odunze has a drop on second and five. He comes back and hits Cam Davis for 4 yards and sneaks it on fourth and one for the first down. And then he hits Cam Davis for 17 more. And then two plays later has back-to-back drops by McMillan in the corner and then Puka Nacua on the very next play. And then they have to punt the ball away. Two drives after that, they come back with the same situation. Jalen McMillan drops a touchdown pass, and they end up missing a field goal on that same drive because of that.
Two missed field goals
in 2 games, which has to be cleaned up. Right. Running into the punter has to be cleaned up.
Well, that happened twice.
Three times tonight.
Yeah. I mean, twice tonight and once the other night. You know, I mean, don't you understand the rules? You cannot touch the punter
at all.
You know,
they're fragile.
They're fragile.
They're not real players. They're punters.
Oh,
can't touch them.
Speaking of fragile, I am about done with this targeting rule.
Oh my God!
God, they've just wrecked it from the defense.
Well, the one on Keith Taylor,
I don't coach defense anymore. Yeah, there was two targetings today that were not targetings. Yeah. The guy turns his head, hits with his shoulder,
hits with his
just
back.
like you're taught to.
Right.
But the offensive guy can put his head down and try and run right over you with his helmet, and they don't do a damn thing. They're wrecking the game. And you know what else is wrecking the game?
Yeah.
Oh, we have to have a conference. We have more damn conferences.
You mean like a meeting?
Yeah, a meeting. We got, and we stop the game all the time because we got, and you know, all you got to do is look at the replay
replay,
and you know where it's going.
Right,
I mean, it's crazy.
Right.
Two things that are just killing me.
No,
today.
I got you. Well, first of all, when you said we have to have a conference, I thought you mean like the Pac-12, the SEC. you mean like a meeting? Okay, get together. Well, the one on Taylor, it's like I said on Twitter, same thing. I mean, the fact that was called in the first place.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
I know.
And then on top of that, it took 5 minutes to figure out that it wasn't targeting. He turns his back.
I know.
He got hit in the back by that guy's helmet. I mean, you got to be kidding me. And you're right. You know what? It just it ruins the game.
It has
it ruins
ruined
the flow
game.
Of the game.
Yeah.
It ruins the flow of the game
pace
for
of
the
it.
Fans,
yep.
the whole thing,
yep.
man.
The thing that's dangerous. So you get defensive players now that are worried about targeting. So now they'll duck their head and turn their shoulder and go low. But if a runner ducks his head to go low, by nature, they're going to hit helmet to helmet.
Yeah. And then you get called for targeting.
And
exactly.
Then you get called for targeting.
I'm back to square one.
Somebody help me.
Yeah,
it's a vicious circle.
You're going to get guys injured because defensive players are going to get to a point where they're going to have to, you know, twist like a pretzel to not try and have helmet to helmet contact. And then they're going to get hurt.
Right.
I get the safety of the game. I get on quarterbacks not being able to hit them and pile your weight into them.
Yeah.
That's one thing. But where we've gone to now, I think sometimes they're mistaken. Targeting for tackling. Like football, you can still tackle, right?
No,
and I'm a quarterback. So
you know what we're doing? We're saying, you tackled and that was too hard.
Right?
You can't tackle that hard.
Right.
You
I
know,
feel like we got
it.
A bunch of 7-on-7 refs from the offseason coming in going, wait a minute, this is your –
Why not just put flags on them and let's just get rid of the helmets? Yeah. Well, we're here. The Husky Honks are on the air, brought to you in part by our friends at Jack Daniels. They've always made whiskey if they have it there.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Way they always will, but there's one thing Jack can't make more of, and that's moments. Those are on us to create. Make sure we're making the most of every moment we have. Make it count, Jack Daniels. So the Husky defense has 7 sacks in 2 games so far, and number 58 looks like a star. Wow. I remember coming to practice a couple years ago with you, and you said, hey, look at that guy over there, number 58.
That's the way they're supposed to look.
That's the way they're supposed to look. 2 years ago, he could have walked onto campus, and you could have said that guy plays for the Seahawks, and you would have believed it. Hmm. Now he's playing like it.
Yeah.
Zion
yeah.
is off the chain.
Yeah.
As the kids like to say, this guy looks amazing.
Yes,
he looks like, and a buddy of mine texted me during the game. He said, you know what? This might be the best pass rush we've had. Going back to the day Joe Mathis got hurt in 2016.
Wow.
The pass rush with him and Psalm and those guys up until that point when those guys got banged up, this looks like the best pass rush since then.
I feel for offensive coordinators that are facing this. I mean, this defense looks stout. You point out a weakness to me right now. I'll wait. I mean, their DBs are playing solid. Linebackers was a concern last week. And
but they both played well tonight.
So well tonight.
They really did.
Sermon really stepped his game up. I was concerned about him after last week. There were a few plays he looked like he was on skates. And all of a sudden he up front, get physical, and when 5'8 is over there playing, I mean, offenses are going to have to start not only chipping on him, they're going to have to straight up double team. A chip is when a tight end or running back, you know, goes, chips his shoulder and then goes out into a pass. They're going to have to leave them in now.
Yeah.
And what that starts doing is freeing up linebackers who would have them in man-to-man. Now they can either be a rover in coverage or they can delay blitz. They can always bring more than what you can protect. So he just – That mismatch problem he presents is going to be crucial, because the only answer to it that I see right now for an offense is to double team him. And once you do that, you lose numerical advantages other places.
Yeah, the only way they're going to be able to double team him is to chip with a butt back.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, I totally agree. He's a monster. And I – you know, again, we play without 2 of our best front guys.
Right.
How about that?
Now, you know, I'm hopefully they get well or get out of trouble or whatever.
Latu and Thule.
Thule.
We're both out.
Can I mention another guy tonight?
Can mention 2 guys if you want.
Savelle Smalls.
Yeah.
Savelle Smalls. You know,
he runs around well, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah, he does. And he looked really just into the game tonight. He looked like things were getting more comfortable for him, understanding the defensive scheme. It's one thing at this level to know what the offense is across the ball, what they're doing, but just knowing your own defensive scheme. I mean, it's complex. So the more you can just react and be able to just let your athletic ability and strengths play. And I watched him tonight. He shed some blocks, got up there, got into the ball carrier. He was in on the action a lot. He was a kid, very high-profile recruit, obviously. UW landing him was big. And if he continues to elevate his play like that with what the pieces this defense already has, that's a good thing.
He's got to get me a little stronger, you think?
Yep.
You know, you know, for a basically 18-year-old kid.
Right.
So get him with Saha, you know, for a couple years in the weight room and then see what he can spit out in a couple years from now. But, man, Eddie Olafosio every week is just doing something.
He's
right?
a good linebacker.
Another TFL, He's another forced fumble tonight. I mean, how much has that linebacker spot in the middle improved from where they were a year ago?
Tremendous. But I think those two guys, Sermon and Olafosio, improved considerably from first game to second game.
Vastly.
And Coach James always said that, you know, you want to see your most improvement between your first game and your second game, because that's when you're with your real players, you want to see a jump because they got no butterflies anymore for first game.
Right. But
I thought those kids really improved their play at linebacker. They didn't have big stats, but the whole defense works together so well. I mean, the back end. I mean, you look at the tackles. There's like 5 guys that had 4 or 5 tackles.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the way it is. There's nobody having 10, 12, 15 tackles, but they're across the board. And you know, there's no question. That secondary is really a special group of
guy
kids.
I mean, Elijah Molden, it's hard to
stand
out.
I hope he's not hurt.
No, yes. He's okay. Yeah. He's okay.
Okay.
He's okay.
I mean, think about this, though. When you're so high profile, you're, everyone's expectations for you are to the roof, and you still exceed. Get DBs that are in there, they're really good in coverage, but soft in the run game. He was ripping off blockers, getting up, making forceful tackles. I mean, he was flying around just with reckless abandon. I loved it. I mean, that just, he is the engine. He is the engine of that defense, and watching him play tonight in person was a treat.
No, he is he's incredible, and you're right, man. To have a group come in with that kind of hype and then find a way to deliver on that hype, it doesn't happen very often. But I'll go back to one particular drive after Richard Newton's first touchdown, when, by the way, he took the ball from the 14 four different times and pounded it right up there and got the score. So they're up 24-0 with 8:49 to go in the second quarter. Arizona gets the ball back. You had a running into the punter, the first one on the night by Ty Jones, on 4th and 6. Then it's 4th and 1. UW's doing the whole stunning shifting thing like Washington State does against us every year, delay against everybody. And they're apparently shouting something out, whatever. They got called for a delay. So at that point, you're thinking, all right, the defense is done. They want to get off the field. They want to go to the bench. They want to hang out and put their butts on the heated seats. And they said, screw this. Elijah Molden, Asa Turner, Eddie Olafosio. Bing, bang, boom. 3 great plays. Not another yard. We're done. We're getting off the field, and we're taking a break. I mean, that was just I have not seen a Washington defense impose their will on anybody like that in at least maybe 3 or 4 years.
Well, I think as a group, you know, you go through the first 3 quarters, that starting defense was incredible.
Right.
I mean, their statistics. I was really impressed with their running back coming in, and he didn't do anything.
Right. Well, yeah.
And the quarterback was in shock. You could see when they had close-ups of him going to the bench or in the huddle.
All I saw was purple, right?
His numbers look eerily similar to his game last week versus USC. But we know he didn't get the numbers the same way. I mean, we're sitting here in the freaking press box, 37-0, going, first of all, why is he playing? And then number one or number two, is this the same guy that threw for 303 touchdowns on USC a week ago?
Yeah.
How bad is USC?
Right. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
What happened?
Yeah. I mean, I watched that, and at one point I remember turning to you guys saying, this feels like the opponent UW has first game of the year, where it's like, hey, let's get everyone playing time, let's get some film, kind of a confidence booster game, a payday for the opponent.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they made Arizona look like, and Arizona outplayed USC last week for most of the game.
Yeah, they did. They
you know,
did.
So
they were ahead. They had them on the ropes.
So
they should have won the game.
This was a very good offense with pieces all across the board, with a very good quarterback. And this defense made them look impotent.
Right.
I think it's less against Arizona as much as it is UW's defense is that good. And their offense, here's what I loved about it. What a great offensive coordinator does, he plays to his pieces. He does, and he plays against an opponent. He doesn't just say, hey, this is one-size-fit-all offense, and we're just going to be this. Hey, we're going to throw the ball to the tight ends down the middle this game. Next game, we're going to get out to our wideouts. Next game, we're going to pound it inside the tackle box. Next game, we'll get outside and go some zone reads. I mean, he's adjusting to his personnel and to the defense, and you saw a different style and looking offense tonight. And they got Auten more involved, and we talked about it pregame.
Yeah.
What that does, when you get that tight end spot going up the middle, it forces the safeties to hug the hashes, forces them to come down in the box, and now you start getting some matchups outside, and that's exactly what happened.
Let's do this. We're going to break. A lot more to get to. We can grab some of your phone calls if you want. Taylor Barton's here. Dick Baird is here answering all your questions at 286-9595 and 800-829-0950. You can text us as well at 49451. Any questions you may have for the Honks, brought to you in part by your local Western Washington Toyota dealers. Visit your local Toyota dealer today or visit buyatoyota.com. Phone lines are open. You want to jump on the air. Text lines open, 49451. Questions, comments, concerns, recipes, jokes, book recommendations, whatever. Jump on the horn, 49451 or 206-286-9595. Husky Honks right here coming up next on 950 KJR.
lay in for six. Make sure you hear us loud and clear. This is Husky Talk Post Game, brought to you by Jack Daniels, by your Western Washington Toyota dealers, by Gillis Auto Center, by Bayside Auto Sales, and by Hammer and Nail on Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
On third down and 10, pressure coming, steps into it, finds a crossing, Puka Nacua. Nacua's got a first down on himself. He breaks clear. He'll score. Touchdown. Puka Nacua from 65 yards.
Well, that was Puka Nacua, 3-2-1. What did I say? That was Puka Nacua's one catch of the day. How about that? So in the WAFED Take It to the Bank prediction segment today.
Yeah, I thought you were good.
I threw out a 100-yard day for Puka Nacua, and after the first catch of the game for him, I thought we were on our way. But he got shut out the rest of the day, which is actually pretty impressive that the Huskies had one catch from what many people would consider their best wide receiver, and they still put up 44 points on this Arizona defense. So Cade Otton, man, breakout day for him. Had the one catch a week ago. Seven catches for 100 yards on eight targets and a touchdown right down the seam, wide open. There's something about tight ends that can own the seam that turns me on. And it was exciting tonight watching Cade Otton own that seam, Taylor.
Yeah, it sure was. And it's such a great outlet for Dylan Morris because it's the easiest completion for a quarterback because it's the closest to you and it's the biggest target.
Right.
So having that confidence to know for Dylan Morris that – that's an option for you every play is huge. And then it's going to open things up the rest of the field for him. So I think it does so many things. Cade's confidence, Dylan's confidence, the confidence of the offense, and the lack of confidence for a D coordinator trying to prep for that. Because good luck trying to match up against Cade Otton. Who do you put on him? You put a safety on him?
Right.
They run it right down your throat. You put a backer on him, he runs right by you. It's a rare matchup to be able to.
Noticed two or three times that they put three tight ends split out
right
together. We, you know,
on the same side.
On the same side.
Yep.
And you know, normally when you have three tight ends in the game, they're all packed in the backfield.
Right.
But now they split them out, and one was open every single time.
Absolutely.
So I mean, because they're big targets, like you say.
Got really creative.
It's funny because Jimmy talks about wanting a pro style offense, right? And I don't remember a lot of pro teams running trips with three tight ends.
No, I've never seen it
on the field together. So where is that even coming from?
I mean. Sometimes you'd look at it and say it. Maybe it's a lack of confidence you have in receivers or depth.
Yeah.
But I don't think they have a lack of confidence in receivers. I think the other thing is it's just a testament to how good they think their tight ends are.
Right.
And the matchups they think they can get with them. And it showed tonight because they went some empty set with three tight ends. You just don't see that. You just don't see that because for a defense, that's not much of a threat. Three tight ends out there, you know they're now throwing the ball.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
So, I mean, to trust those guys to be route runners like that and then to be rewarded with them being open every play and them having success on it, that's going to be – that's an entire day's worth of reps for a defense in a limited time frame of practice each week to now have to get ready for that package.
You know, we'll watch the game again, you know, obviously to see.
When you say we, it's like all of us are getting together?
No, all of us will watch
individually.
Again.
Okay, gotcha, I thought you were inviting us over.
No. I have enough of you. I don't need to have another thing, but we don't know if they were, Arizona was substituting when the three tight ends came in. We used to play personnel groupings on defense, and when we saw three tight ends in the game, that usually means it's a run heavy thing.
Yeah.
So we would counter with the defensive personnel. Now, when we look at the film, we'll find out if they were coming with their heavies.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere,
even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Against the two tight ends, and maybe that's why they decided to split them out.
Well, hey, man, whatever works. I love it. And I'm wondering, by the way, if you guys have the same thought that I had, that there's a new sheriff in town on Montlake, and his name is Jimmy Lake, because they go forward on 4th and 1 from their own 31 on the fourth play of the game with a fake punt to Jackson Sermon, and then two plays later, they're in the end zone. That right there, in a nutshell, shows you things are different here.
I think he was trying to make a point, because last week, our first punt was a total disaster.
Right.
Remember?
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
What happened? Remind me.
Well, about everything that could possibly happen on one play. Yes. But, you know,
but that
was the first punt.
He was right.
Here we come back with a punt this time, and he goes for a fake to Sermon, and he picks up the first down. I mean, what a great call. I liked it. I went, yes.
Did you, though? Now. Did you like it? Really?
I liked
it. If it didn't work, would you be saying the same thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
I think it also speaks to his confidence in his defense, right? That we're going to go for this in this territory of the field, and if we don't get it, Arizona has the ball in great starting field position, momentum, but our defense is good enough that I trust that they're going to stop them.
So
that confidence he has in his defense, which is by extension his, he's been the D coordinator last few years. These are kids he's brought in.
Yep.
So he's the head coach, but you best believe he's having a lot of say on the plays that are called
for
defensive.
Sure. Let's go to Rusty in Seattle. Rusty, you're on with the Honks right here on 950 KJR. What's happening, pal? How are you?
Well, first of all, I can't wait to go over to Coach Baird's house and watch the game.
Yeah, we're all going to your house, and we're bringing Rusty with us, and you can't stop us.
Man. Anyway, I got to tell you, I am so jazzed about this team, especially this week as opposed to last week. You talked about Coach James saying that you want to see your best improvement between weeks 1 and 2. And man, this is like two different teams I'm seeing. Last week, the quarterback was not assured of himself. This week, he was throwing all over the lot. They threw way more than we anticipated, too. But just the change, the defense was so self-confident this week, way more than last week, that they just owned these guys. And it, just the change in these 2 weeks, it's got me really excited. It got me thinking down the line about this team could be doing really good at the end of the season if this damn pandemic hasn't prevented us from playing all the games.
Yeah, you know what? I would have loved to have gotten a crack at Michigan. I can tell you that right now.
Hey, California.
Hey, but by the way, you know what's funny about that, Rusty? So, Rusty, you said that they threw the ball a lot more tonight than they did a week ago. You know how many times Dylan Morris threw the ball last week?
No.
24. You know how many times he threw it tonight?
Seriously?
25.
Exactly what I said.
Yeah, it just looked a lot different.
Yeah,
he was much more, as Rusty said, and Rusty, we appreciate the call. He was much more efficient tonight. He was much more aggressive.
Yep.
He knew what he wanted to do. He wasn't messing around. Those 24, 25 passes today looked a lot different than those same passes last week.
Well, when we were talking pregame and you said, you know, talk about Dylan, talk about his strengths. I mean, you saw him tonight.
Right.
The ability when he can just get back in rhythm and just sling it around. I mean, it's such a pretty looking ball. You know, you watch Keaton Slovis from USC and you look like it looks like a punt every throw.
Yeah, exactly.
Dylan's ball is tight spirals. I mean, they're zipping in there. It's a fun, pretty ball to watch. And he threw really, really well. A few of the deep balls he missed.
Yeah.
Again, hey, I'm glad you have a strong arm, but Air is forgiving.
Yeah.
On deep balls, that's my message to him. If you put it way out there, receiver can hit sixth gear, go get it. If you underthrow it, they can come high point it. And with our receivers, a lot of them, it's not a 50-50 ball. It's going to be a 75-25 ball.
Right.
So learn to give your guys a chance. Now, on other passes, he threw great deep balls, and they just missed him, so they got to help him too. It's kind of a, you know, pilot. Rick Neuhauser used to say pilot, co-pilot, right? Either you're both right or you're both – kaput. And, with and receiver
Rick,
quarterback.
Rick was good at those.
You know, right? So quarterback, receiver, you both have to be right. If it's a good throw and you drop it,
right,
or if it's a
right,
bad throw, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You're both wrong. So they got to get in film, clean some of that up. But that's nitpicking on what otherwise was just
well,
an
but to
awesome
your
night.
Point, though, there was a question that some people had, mostly because they hadn't watched him play. And they see a guy that's barely 6 foot tall, and they wonder about his arm strength. Mm-hmm. Well, if he's overthrowing guys down the field, arm strength is not a problem.
Not a problem.
It's the accuracy. Mm-hmm. It's maybe taking a bit off the gas. And we're still talking about a guy that's played 8 quarters of football in his life. DeAndre is in Atlanta. You're on with the Honks. How are you, man? What's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. First off, I want to say, I think last week, Dylan Morris was actually pretty good last week.
Yeah.
If you actually look in regards to, they dropped a bunch of third down passes overall for a rusher freshman.
Yeah.
To, like, he stands in the pocket. He's one of our first quarterbacks for a while. I would probably say Pickett, who stands in the pocket. He sees the pressure, and he'll still deliver it. I mean, he didn't. I thought he. A lot of people say he didn't do great last week. I think today was just more of an extension from last week, and they keep dropping balls, which is a problem. I don't know what's going on.
We're
going
to clean that up.
Can I say something?
Yeah,
I'm in such agreeance with you, and it's such a good point. I played with Cody, and Cody, you know, was kind of the cowboy mentality, but he was fearless, and that's the way Dylan is. Dylan is fearless.
Yeah.
He's going to take a hit, and he's like, Cody, hey, it's all good.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what Cody was like. I mean, one of my best friends was Reggie. He's one of the first quarter guys we've had for a while who did that.
Yeah.
And but these drop passes is a problem. They got to catch these passes
for sure.
If you're trying to get the next level, you got to catch these passes.
No, yeah, you want to beat Oregon, you want to beat Washington State, you got to convert on those.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, how much more? I guess my question would be: so we've got four plays that come to mind, one by Adunze, one by Ty, two by McMillan tonight.
Right.
That could have been touchdowns. Maybe the one here in the corner you could argue was a great play by the defender. He reaches across his body,
right,
slams
the
ball away. Maybe a stronger receiver and a more experienced guy would go up and get that and fight for it. But I think Jimmy Lake would say those are four touchdowns they should have had. What more can Dylan Morris do on those four passes that he did not do tonight?
Well, he could throw them to himself.
Okay.
I think, you know, for me on Dylan, I think he had a really good night. The one thing I think he needs to clean up are those arrow routes into the flat, leading his guys, because those end up being the difference. One, we ended up getting the first down. One, they called it short because the receiver or running back
to Cam Davis you're talking about,
where he had to turn his shoulders back, he caught it. But if you lead them, they're able to turn up field, get a few yards, and go in. And in a big game, in a third and short, that's the difference.
Well, this is like the text line 360 is asking the same thing. Morris has missed a deep middle throw the last two games, didn't seem to lead the receiver to the middle enough. Please ask Taylor why that is a hard throw. Thank you.
So here's why, and you and I were actually talking about this at halftime. So as a quarterback, when you throw a deep post, a lot of times when the safety's in the middle, you got to keep it high and to the middle where the safety can't get it. Where he's missing is the safety's coming down on these play actions. So he doesn't have to worry about getting it over his head now. So he needs to throw it more flat and across the middle of the field. Think like Patrick Mahomes, how he throws to Tyreek Hill, going across the field. So Dylan needs to either throw it flat and across the field where the receiver can run to it, or he needs to get a little bit more air where the receiver can run under it. His deep balls at the end of the game, if you saw it, got a little bit more air, and the receiver was able to run under it. Yep. So I think he's making some of those in-game adjustments, and I think that's just reps, where if he was going to miss those, his adrenaline's going, and he's saying, listen, I'm not going to underthrow this and get picked. This is either a touchdown or it's incomplete. I get that mindset. He will start getting that internal confidence to not think about the bad things that can happen and just think about the good things when he just plays.
Well, I agree.
Okay. Let's get a break. More with the Husky Honks, brought to you by our friends at Gillis Auto Center in Shelton, online at gillisautocenter.com. Go Dogs. More with the Honks next, right here on 950 KJR.
lay in for six. Make sure you hear us loud and clear. This is Husky Talk Post Game, brought to you by Jack Daniels, by your Western Washington Toyota dealers, by Gillis Auto Center, by Bayside Auto Sales, and by Hammer and Nail on Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Third and five, Morris over the middle. There's Otten, who will add a touchdown to his exceptional performance. Career high sixth catch is a 20-yard touchdown for Morris. Boys, we are back. Husky Honks are on the air. Big thanks to Bayside Auto Sales on Evergreen Way in Everett and online at BaysideAutoSales.net and by Hammer and Nail. The experts in the Puget Sound area for custom-built homes or large remodels, go to hammerandnail.build to get going on your project today. From the 206, what are the Huskies' weaknesses? After this game, they seem to have none. Wow. What sticks out to you? I think Washington does have some holes.
Yeah, they don't understand the principle of running into the punter
or catching touchdowns
or
from
catching
the wide
touchdowns.
Receivers. So,
right off the bat, those are two things that we.
Yeah.
Now, honestly, if the receivers just caught half the balls that they drop, you know, I mean, it would make a big difference in the last 2 weeks.
Absolutely. Well, that's
and especially when you have a rookie quarterback, you want to help him out. So, you know, that's an area that's obviously an area.
Well, both the drives today where McMillan dropped a touchdown, I don't think they scored on either drive after that. So that's 14 points today, 11 points minimum last week. So you're talking 25 points. But, I mean, look, obviously Jimmy Lake and the coaching staff will hit the tape. There's no way they're going to go home and say, you know what, we're fine. Everything's good. We'll see you next week for the Apple Cup. What do you work on, you think, moving forward here?
I mean, it is hard. It's a lot easier after a bad game or a loss to go back and self-scout and you pick out everything you did in practice that you need to improve on.
Yeah.
When you win and play really well, it's pretty hard not to get complacent. I think that's where really good coaching comes in, to come in and say, listen, let's get this tape. And yes, we were successful, but we can be even better. So you had a good block, but it can be better. So just tightening some things up. And I think for the receivers, yes, you're not going to be able to drop that touchdown pass and us to still win because we're up by 37 points. You're going to have some games where that's the difference. If you drop a third down pass or drop that touchdown pass, that is the difference in the game, guys.
In the game.
So we don't get redos. We don't get, well, you know, okay, just give me another rep or give me another chance. That's concerning to me on the outside with our receivers of making those plays. They got to step up and emerge and be better.
Yep.
Special teams, I think there's some things on kickoff that the kicks have to be better. Running into the punter, yes, the whole definition of running into the punter, don't do it. Don't run into the punter. It's not a problem. But if those are the things we're talking about, I like where we're sitting. I mean, I just think it's one of those things. Nick Saban, I remember him just saying, you know, hey, you guys, I was out at a camp and he says, you guys have heard success breeds success, right? And all the kids go, yeah. And he says, no, here we believe success breeds complacency. And that was after they had won a national championship. And I'm going, you know, that's right. So I think for UW, fight the complacency of coming off a really good win where now everyone's patting you on the back and telling you how good you are.
Yep.
That's going to be the challenge this week.
Well, I there's not going to be that challenge this week because this is the Apple Cup.
Yeah.
And it carries a whole different thing. I mean, when you get into this week, it means something different now.
It should.
Coach Lake and Coach Peterson both – know that, you know, this is a very special game. And I think Coach Rolo knows that, too.
Yes, he does.
Over there. But I don't think Mike Leach ever did.
No.
That's why he never won.
Well,
he won one against Sark.
Yeah.
That's it.
But, you know, that's what I'm saying. Right. What I'm saying
you
is,
blew a 28-10 lead in the fourth quarter.
It's a
Remember
very
that?
Special game, and it's so crazy that it comes up. It's our third game.
Right.
It's the midway through this crazy season we're in. And, you know, we're so used to playing it the last game that, you know, that's where it belongs. So, I mean, this is and it's a shorter week coming up. So, I mean, these kids are probably going to have practice tomorrow, I would imagine.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, it just
if
changes.
If they play the game at all Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know.
Well, and that's what
you're
fighting,
hopefully we'll find out more tomorrow about what Wazoo's situation is. But, you know, look, I mean, Wazoo couldn't play today because of their COVID situation. So, I don't know what –
is next for them. Hopefully we'll find out more tomorrow, if not on Monday. But at some point, UW has to know what their plans are for the weekend, because they just last week gave the conference permission to play a non-conference game if they have to slide somebody else in. Jen Cohen told us today that Army called him when the Cal game got canceled 2 weeks ago. They're not going to play Army on 48 hours notice against that offense. Right. There's no way they're doing that. So, look, I mean, if we're not playing Washington State, then you know, just get that word out quick enough where UW can make plans to play this weekend. Because I'll tell you what would really stink after a game like today, when your defense really kind of found itself a little bit, your quarterback took a step today, and then to have to put it on pause for a week and wait 2 weeks to play, I think would stink.
Can I say this? If the WSU game – it doesn't go through, go get BYU.
They're open.
That's a top 10 team who both teams would have something out of that, because Washington's saying we don't get a bunch of chances this season to show we're a playoff caliber team, and a win against a top 10 team who's on fire right now would be huge. And for BYU, they feel like they're not getting respect because of the opponents they're playing.
Right.
So to come play UW and win would be a huge statement for them. So if we could find out early in the week that the WSU game's off, let's get BYU and both teams preparing. Let's go have a slugfest, because that's what it would be.
Well, I guarantee you this, that Jen Cohen in that department, that they have looked at contingency plans if the Apple Cup can't be played on Friday. There is no way that Jen Cohen and Washington are sitting around waiting until Monday or Tuesday to hear from Wazoo and then start thinking about who they may play in their place over the weekend. So they've got options. Maybe not options that are, you know, definitive, but they've got plans. They've got, you know, potential situations that could come up if the game can't happen. Trevor 425 says, when will we actually use McGrew on screens, wheel routes, Texas routes? He's the perfect guy for those, and we never seem to incorporate him in the passing game.
Can I, and when we went back to things UW needed to screen game.
Right.
I think UW needs to get their screen game going better. That's a way to help your quarterback in passing game, take pressure off, because you get an overambitious D-line coming at you. Now you start getting those little slip screens. And that's where, to me, McGrew is best. You know,
Get him in space.
I didn't love the way he ran tonight. I feel like he was kind of anticipating defenders in his face before they really
He's
were.
He's running between the tackles.
Right, where other guys were hitting the hole. And for McGrew, if that's going to be the case, get him those little slip screens. Yep. Let him get in space, set up a block, dance around, set up your lineman on a safety downfield, and go. So I think that's something they need to work on, the screen game. And at the same time, it's a way to make sure you get the ball in his hands, because he is a dynamic playmaker for sure.
Well, we tried two screens today, and neither of them really worked.
Right.
And we had none last week.
Yeah.
So either I know it's in the package. I mean, you got to have a screen package, and you got to work on it every day. But I think I agree with you. I think that we got to get him in space, because that's where this kid is really electrifying.
Hide behind linemen.
Yes,
And then go, and then hit the afterburners and go. So getting those little slip screens, and he's very athletic. So if the ball isn't as accurate, he's able to go up, get it, and go. So I think that's a way for them. And having that screen game, it just forces a defense on a blitz or D lineman to just have that little voice in the back of their head saying, wait a minute, did I beat this lineman because I'm that good, or is he letting me by because it's
go?
A screen?
Yeah,
it just gives them that little bit of doubt.
Yeah. Well, I just think a guy like him, the more space he has to run in, the better he is.
Well, that's the whole thing we were talking about. All four guys bring a different thing to the table.
Yeah.
And the most complete guy appears to be Cam Davis as far as receiving and running.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought that was a great run by Richard Newton.
Yes.
I mean, the long one?
His long run.
He's fast.
He's a speedster.
He had it going, and I thought that Clamari Pleasant had a really nice run in there, too.
Did you find it a pleasant run?
A pleasant run.
I thought pleasant. I thought he was the
You're
smoothest.
The worst. It's time to go. That was bad.
I felt like he was the smoothest of all the running backs as far as his speed, hitting the hole, how physical he was.
Yep.
I thought he was kind of the most well-rounded, kind of a combination of all them. We've talked about all these running backs, the quarterback, receivers. It doesn't happen unless the guys up front are getting the job done.
Right.
I mentioned Jackson Kirkland last week. What about Henry Bainivalu?
Bainivalu.
How about him?
He would look good today in the run game.
I mean, they're pulling him, and he's running like a tight end.
Yeah.
And he's on second level on so many blocks and just washing the line down and just creating humongous holes and doing a great job in pass protection.
Yeah.
You know, all these guys we talk about are because the ball is in their hand, but it's those guys up front that win you games.
Right.
And if the line can play like that and Henry can continue to play like that and they can stay healthy
– yep.
Man, look
two,
out.
Two games in a row haven't given up a sack.
No,
that's
one,
unbelievable.
One sack tonight.
One
it
sack.
Was the play before Peyton's missed field goal.
Missed field
that's
goal,
right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But that's an average of a half a sack a game.
One
I mean,
sack. One sack in eight quarters, and they've got seven, the defense, in two games.
Yeah.
They had
that's
29
good.
And 13 last year. They're on. That would be a 45-sack pace over a 13-game season. That's
wow.
pretty good.
Wow.
Pretty good.
That's too much for me to think
about. I know
about.
It is. I'm sorry. I apologize for laying all that on you. I should have waited until Monday. 300 yards after 37-0.
Yeah.
27 points and 300 yards for Arizona after the Dogs went up 37-0. I think it's easy for some folks to just dismiss that and say the game was over. It's garbage time. Others say no. Like you said, you're kind of playing with fire.
Yeah.
Giving yourself a chance to win the game. You know, somebody falls down, an onside kick, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Some folks are bothered by it. Some folks aren't. How about you?
Well, defensively, it really wrecks your statistics.
Sure.
And, your starters work so hard, and they worked for three quarters and hadn't even given up 100 yards totally, you know. And then they're all done, and then the other team gets 300
right.
yards.
But if it didn't bother Jimmy Lake, then why wouldn't he just leave his starters in the game?
Because you don't want to get them hurt.
Well, but then you can't have it both ways.
I guess
you can expect more from your backups.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. Look, for UW, if they want to take that next step to being a playoff contender yearly and a legit one, you look at a team like Alabama and Clemson – they beat people and their backups come in and they beat them even worse.
Right.
You know, it's that culture where guys are saying, hey, I'm next in line. I want to show coaches they were wrong
having
me as the backup. And when you have that culture with the athletes, UW now has the athletes. They're twos. You look at just their ratings out of high school and their talent and their highlight films. They're dudes. So those guys need to get in there with that mindset of showing those coaches, hey, I can do it when it matters in the first quarter. Brandon Huffman's the national recruiting editor at 24/7 Sports. And he and I always talk because we'll talk about highlights and we say, was it fourth quarter highlights or first quarter highlights? Because a kid can have highlights that look good, but they were
That's
fourth quarter
point.
In mop-up. So with these guys, yes, the starters are the ones going – making plays, but if you're getting in the fourth quarter, that is your first quarter.
You
that
gotta
is,
do it.
That, yeah, go do it. This is your opportunity.
Yeah.
Don't go talk on social media about how you're getting slept on and coaches are you know not seeing your talent and then go out on the field and lay an egg. So yes, I feel weird talking about a game where we're critiquing the backups in the fourth quarter.
Right.
That's how good the starters were on both sides of the ball.
Yep.
But it is an issue to me long term because those are the future kids of the program and some of them we are going to need to rely on this year and that concerns me.
Taylor, well, you know the children are our future.
The children are our future.
You know
it
that,
is getting
you?
To be a long night.
Yes.
Final thoughts. Let's go around the room.
Whitney Houston.
Coach Barrett, have at it.
Well, final thought is, you know, we're off to a great start. I mean, you're 2-0. You know, I expected us to win this game. I really did. I didn't think that Arizona looked that good, although they played SC, but I thought SC was terrible.
Right.
I mean, they shoot themselves in the foot all the time, and they're playing out of control, and no discipline, and stuff like that. So I didn't know what to take out of that game. But coming into this game, I knew that we had the ability to set the tempo of a game.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's important. You know, we are very methodical about what we're doing offensively. We come with a sense of purpose and a big sense of purpose is we're going to kick your butt.
Right.
And on both and both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
And now we thought we're going to clean up the kicking game. We still got some work to do. You know, the kicker, the kickoff guy. I mean, he was the kicker all last year. Usually you're going to see progression from 1 year to the next. I watched him on my binocs, and he kicked off two different ways. I mean, how he was, his body motion. So he's got to clean that up, because we had two big kickoff returns against us last week, and I think we've got to be able to find somebody who can drive the ball through the end zone.
Yeah,
I mean they had a guy that did it. So but you know, overall the defense, the kicking game improved immensely, and I just thought it was just a tremendous move on Jimmy's part to go for that fake punt at the start. And I mean, that just tells your team something. And how many times has he gone for fourth down? You know,
at least twice tonight. But how about the direct snap to Race Porter down here on the extra point? Yeah. Some folks were asking, why show that when you're up 30? Others say give them something to worry about, but it's an extra point. I mean, what's the –
No, you make your opponent work on that.
They got to go prepare for
that. They got to prepare for it. So that takes practice time. It's like when they come out of the huddle and they go on the extra point and a whole bunch of guys go one way and they have a screen play the other way. Now everybody's going to go through and they got to waste a lot of practice time getting prepared for this particular
stuff.
So
it's practice time you think spent on that would have been spent on something else.
In pro football, the guys aren't going to school each day. They don't have anything else. So, I mean, they're filmed, they're practice all week. College, you're limited. So they've got a few days and a few hours in each of those days when they have the full team together, and especially special teams, because you're taking guys off offense and defense. So it's even more limited time that you actually have them together. So when you have to prepare for that, it's just taking you away from so many other things. You might even have to go into the O&D coach and say, hey, can we get 15 more minutes on special teams out there in the walkthrough just to do this? And now that's how many more less reps for the offense and defense.
Right.
So it's that kind of stuff. And now you've got a chance to look at that on tape to see, is there anything you want to build off of that to maybe use down the road? So there's a few things you can see down the road from it.
All right, man. Great stuff. Taylor, awesome
great
work,
win.
Man.
It was
fun to
thanks,
have you.
Taylor. This that was fun working on. With
we
you.
We will be doing this again soon. Finals from the Pac-12. USC beat Utah 33-17. Trojans are now 3-0. Oregon barely survives UCLA 38-35. Oregon State knocked off Cal behind a 196 from Jamar Jefferson, by the way.
Wow.
31-27. UW wins, of course, 44-27. ASU Colorado and Wazoo Stanford called off. As of right now, the Apple Cup is on for 6 days from now in Pullman at 7:30 on the Friday after Thanksgiving. Our pregame show would start 3:30 that day right here on KJR, but you never know because of Washington State's COVID situation. So by this time next week, the Huskies might be playing the freaking 49ers for all we know. Who knows what they're doing next weekend?
No, that's too big of a bite to chew.
I got you. For Chris Kidd, Dick Baird, Taylor Barton, I'm Dave Softy Mahler. Big thanks to Jack Daniels, your local Western Washington Toyota dealers, Gillis Auto Center, Bayside Auto Sales, and Hammer and Nail Bill. Dogs win at 44-27. We'll talk to you Monday at 3 right here on 950 KJR. See ya.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.